Good morning. I'd like to welcome all of you to the Ornamentals, Landscape, and Turf oral session this morning. We have eight speakers. Seven of the speakers, I have preloaded their presentation, so I know they're here. But we will stay on schedule. I would like to call our first speaker to the podium, Mike Arnold. Mike is going to talk about few residual effects of planting stock size remain after 5 years of transplanting.
Thanks, Mary. And I figure this is the speakers here. For those of you who are here, you're actually missing out on the Nursery Crops Working Group meeting, but so hopefully we'll have some folks coming in after that finishes up. I wanted to visit with you today about some work that was originally started by one of our grad students, Lauren Garcia. And this is a long-term project that was fortunately funded for us by the Tree Fund. And basically what we're looking at is the old adage that folks will tell you that if you plant a small tree, it's going to catch up to the larger trees over time. And the question was, does that really occur? And if it does, how quickly did it occur? And just as a little bit of background before we're talking about the long-range impact of that, which is really what we're here for today, when we started to do a little search through the literature, there are three or four common issues with most of the work that had been done related to this. One, either they'd compare one size large and one size small, and that was pretty much it, or the sizes they were comparing were all pretty much liner sizes, starting from a cord up to, say, a 5 gallon tree or so. Other things that came in is they would buy these in from nurseries to test the different sizes. Well, you never know what the genetics were behind the plants that are coming in. Then most of them were seedling materials, and they have residual effects of how they were produced in the nursery. So we decided to try and overcome some of those issues. And so what we ended up doing was working with clonal materials. We had three species we'll talk about in a second, and we select clonally and sequentially produced rooted cuttings off of those that were then transplanted into 1 gallons. When that matured, it went to a 3, to a 7, to a 25, and to a 45. And this took about a 2-year period of time to get all these timed out. And so we had clonal material in all the different sizes that were ready to go and produced in a common nursery with similar types of background production issues. Three species we chose. Vitex, as you see on the bottom there, is a very rapid-growing, multi-stemmed small tree. That was chosen because of its rapid growth rate, and it's a very tough and durable plant. We chose red maple because it's so widely grown. We happened to use the cultivar maroon, which was selected in our area for particularly well-adapted traits, and then a test clone that we had from some bald cypress material that we'd been working with that we knew would root clonally for us to work with. We then grew these up to their final sizes. We sacrificed three plants of each combination to get basic biomass determinations. And then we ended up with six replicates of each of the five container sizes and three different species. Went to the field on 25-foot rows with 20-foot in-row spacings. And we sent also a duplicate set with Jeff Denny down to Mississippi State so that we would have it replicated in two locations. And these are overviews. So really we treated these as three separate studies, one for each species, and then the container sizes. Something that I think is important, and I won't go into today, we tracked all of our costs and things so that we could do an economic analysis on this, and we presented this separately. But what is important here is in the bottom right there, you'll notice there's a gaggle of pipes, okay? What we know is up front that each of these container sizes and species are going to require different irrigation regimes. So if you pick one, you are systematically over or underwatering something else. And so what we did is set up 15 separate irrigation systems, one for each species and container size, and then monitored those with tensiometers to determine when watering was needed. And that also allowed us to track water use for those as well. And if you're interested in that, that material was just published for the initial establishment. We also took a number of physiological measures, and we won't talk too much about those. Lauren's presented those previously. But what I wanted to point out is that we did take a number of long-term growth measures, and those are what we'll talk about the results of today in terms of what happens 5 years out after these things actually go in the field. By the way, this picture's of the folks taking some of the physiological measurements. We had an interesting run-in with the local police department with the Vitex there, where the red circle's at. They didn't think it was Vitex, and so we nearly had the plot torn out. Just as a reminder, as we go through, Lauren did present the initial establishment phase, but what I want to point out from this is a couple of things. One is initially the larger container sizes during the first year, and these represent the first year's physiological measures. This is second year's over here, days after transplant, okay? You'll see that the larger container sizes had more negative pre-dawn and midday water potentials, and they also had less stomatal conductance. So our larger container sizes were under more stress during that period, even though they were being watered to the same field capacities. That did recover by the last measurement date in the first year, and then that also was no statistical difference in most cases during the subsequent years. That was true of all three species. So from a physiological standpoint of photosynthetic measures and water transpiration measures, the plants were established after a year. Now, that wasn't necessarily the case with growth rates. And that's what we kind of want to talk about. Just some background material. This was the first couple of years in the field. We planted these in the spring of 2013, coming out of one of the worst droughts on record for our region. So everything was looking rough, but the plants were in the ground. They grew and were looking pretty good within the next season or two. I just want to point out the rapid growth we get on Vitex. The two red circles here represent a year's difference in the growth rate of a one-gallon Vitex in the field. It puts on quite substantial growth. And if you think that's impressive, that circle is the third year in the field, adjacent to a 25-gallon, and just in the back right was a 45-gallon tree that went in at the same time. Okay, so Vitex is catching up very rapidly. Just some examples down here of the bald cypress. This would have been in the fourth growing season with those. And you notice that most of the sizes are looking very similar. You can pick out one of the one-gallon bald cypress down there that was still a good bit smaller. But by and large, we're losing a lot of the growth differences on the plants. And if we look at that graphically, in just a word, you're going to see sequence of three or four slides here all set up the same way. We've got growing seasons from transplant through the first five growing seasons in the field. And we've got this happens to be height, and it's always going to be Vitex, red maple, and then bald cypress down in the bottom. Okay, so you can follow them along. With Vitex, in terms of the height of the plants, by the end of the second growing season, only the very smallest container sizes had not caught up to the larger planted plants. And by the third, fourth, and fifth growing seasons, there was no statistical difference between the five container sizes for Vitex. We saw a similar but a little bit slower development of that process with red maple, with very few differences by the fourth and none by the fifth in container sizes. Do notice we've lost the smallest container size. We had deer damage on the smallest 1 gallons. They pretty much, so we just eliminated those from our analysis. Bald cypress, did not completely catch up, but the top three sizes had no difference by the end of the fifth growing season, and you can see that the two smaller sizes were rapidly catching up, so apparently we'll probably do so. We saw similar undertakings with trunk diameter, more conventional measures, and again, by the fifth season, no difference in anything except for the very smallest size of the bald cypress from the larger size containers. And if you look at canopy spread, and this would be how wide the trees are growing. Even more noticeable, by the second growing season, there was no statistical difference in the canopy size between the five different sizes from 1 to a 45 on Vitex on this site. And this was a moderate growing site. It was not wonderfully fertile soils, sandy loam, so-so. We ended up with a similar situation by the fourth season for red maple, and by the fifth season there were no statistical differences in our bald cypress. We did look at root growth, and here you see Lauren working away with an air spade. What we did was we excavated a known area adjacent to the planted root ball, looked at number of roots, and then any roots that were in that, we followed them on out as long as they went from individually from the trunk. So what we were trying to do is get an idea of how far were we establishing roots. And we did this the first two growing seasons, randomly switching sides and taking plants. Just a comment, this is the top row shows the first year excavation, an example on Vitex, and the bottom row shows the second year example on Vitex. And what you see is this was the initial area excavated, and then we followed that roots that went all the way out, and the point being that the roots on the Vitex would go out over 10 feet. In other words, on 20-foot spacings, by the second year, you're overlapping. Just a comment, those of you who do fertility studies or irrigation studies in the field, that has a lot of implications for whether where your treatments are going to begin to overlap. Just kind of an aside. If you look at that graphically, this is looking down at the distribution of the root system, and here this represents the mean maximum extension for a given size container and species. The inner circle in these circles of three represent the planted diameter of the root ball that went in. So that would have been the maximum distance at planting. The second circle in those concentric circles represents the mean maximum root extension the first growing season in the field, and the outer one represents the mean maximum root extension in the second growing season. The bottom line is, if you look at Vitex on the bottom, there's not much differences by the end of the second growing season in how far they've got roots out from a 1 and a 45-gallon tree. And you can see that same trend beginning to occur with the red maple and the bald cypress, although it's developing more slowly. So what's the bottom line after we've gone through this? Bottom line is, after 5 years in the landscape, and this is a 7-year study, so you're not going to do these very often, but after 5 years in the landscape, there were very few residual differences between the 1 and the 45-gallon tree. And I'll refer you back to some of the published papers we've put out on this, on the economics of that. You can imagine you can come up with quite substantial savings by going to those smaller trees. Some, there were no differences or very little differences after 2 to 3 years. And by and large, the 3 to 7 gallon containers were the ones that were establishing most rapidly from the physiological measures we talked about earlier and the growth measures. The 1 gallon show there is a bottom on this, and it tends to be they're just a little bit too open to the vagrancies of the environment once they get too small. I might mention that Campus Tree has actually listened to us in the campus arborist, and they're now specking lower size trees, which is good. Now, does that mean we would never plant larger size trees? No, because there are aesthetic impacts, ecosystem services are going to be provided by the larger trees immediately, and a greater ability to withstand some of these mechanical damage issues and things in the landscape. But as long as you're willing to forego those types of things, take on those risks, you can use a much easier to handle, less expensive, smaller size tree and wind up with essentially the same bottom line 5 years later. And for a homeowner, that may have some big implications, although the nursery industry may not want me to spread that word around too much. Okay. Thank you, and I don't know whether we have time for questions. 1 minute. Anybody got a question?
Let's thank Dr. Arnold.
Thank you.